Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show.
Say hello to Mitchell Trubisky's new weapons. Allen Robinson, Taylor Gabriel, Trey Burton, come on down. The offense looks improved, but what about the Bears' defense? Our panel of NFL experts will break it all down for us today. Lauri Markkanen will not travel with the Bulls for a tankathon matchup against the Memphis Grizzlies. Markkanen has battled back spasms a few times this season. You might as well cancel that leadoff watch. Ian Happ is red hot. Hit another leadoff homer last night for the Cubs in Cactus League play. Meanwhile, Sox fans are going to have to wait a little bit longer to see Eloy Jimenez on the south side. He was sent to the minors today. That and lots more coming up next on Sports Talk Live. Welcome to Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. I'm Luke Stuckmeyer. Let's meet the panel for today's show. We are starting five wide to break down the Bears for you from the Sun-Times. We have Adam Johns and Patrick Finley from NBCSportsChicago.com, our J.J. Stankovitz, and Pro Football Weekly, the dean of football insiders, Hub Arkish. So here we go. This is what the Bears have done. Ryan Pace was busy with lots of cap space available. Allen Robinson, Trey Burton, Taylor Gabriel, Chase Daniel, and much, much more. The main focus was helping Mitchell Trubisky. If that was it, Hub, we'll start with you first. Did they do enough in the first cup in the first 24 hours?
You know, guys, I think they've had a really good 24 hours. I have no problem with any of it, but I have to be the guy who reminds everybody it was almost a year ago today that we went out there and we met Mike Glennon and Marcus Wheaton and Deion Sims and Quinton Demps, and boy, they were excited about that. I believe Sims is the only one who's still a Bear, and he may not be by this time tomorrow night. So you got to take all this with a grain of salt. What really matters to me is that Allen Robinson is literally only the second number one receiver this team has had this century, and that's a big deal. And I think that he's going to be okay. I don't worry about the ACL. So for that alone, yeah, I feel real good about what they've done.
But you know what? Last year when they brought those guys out, there was skepticism, you know, in our room and out in the world.
It was Mike Glennon.
It was Mike Glennon.
Yeah.
I mean,
they
had
bidding against?
They had to talk people into Mike Glennon. You know, you looked at Quinton Demps. You know, it was a one-year wonder sort of situation. He was up there. I don't think any of those four guys have the upside of Burton, of Robinson. I mean, those two guys are in a different class than anybody they signed last year, or maybe even the year before.
Look, well, they're all 26 and younger, too, right?
The only guy who matters here, that we can get as excited as we want about Robinson and Burton, the guy who matters is Trubisky. If Mitch Trubisky doesn't turn out to be the quarterback the Bears thought they were getting when they traded up to get him, then they can have a bunch of great pieces around him, but they won't have a great team.
There's almost more pressure on Mitch Trubisky than ever. I mean, if they weren't putting enough pressure on him already, being the face of the franchise, trading up to get him and whatnot, you get him a brand new receiver, two brand new receivers, a move tight end, you get the head coach of his dreams. Mm-hmm. I mean, Mitch Trubisky's going to have to make some major strides over the next couple seasons to really validate being taken number two overall.
You know, to be clear, guys, I really like what they've done. I'm not trying to be the contrarian here, but, Pat, I got to take issue with you on that. Right now, based on their careers, Taylor Gabriel and Trey Burton are no different than Marcus Wheaton. And in fact, Marcus Wheaton came with a little more production. So Burton interests me because he's the chess piece in all of this. I mean, He's not a tight end. He's here to be the guy that Nagy and Helfrich, and they're going to mess with and they're going to have some fun with.
Here's what I like about these guys is that they added so much versatility to this offense. They had one guy who was really versatile last year, and that was Tariq Cohen. So, you know, when they would line up in certain packages, you could say, well, they're going to run it here or they're going to pass it here. They can do so much more with a Gabriel, with a Trey Burton as that move tight end. I like that versatility that they can have.
So if it's Burton or Shaheen, who really is a tight end on the Bears? Or are they trying to change the way the tight end plays in a new offense?
I think they're kind of completely different players. I mean, From size, speed, a lot of different measurables, they're just completely different from what they can do on the field. But $8 million for Trey Burton, if you're going to be skeptical of any signing, it's that one. He's now in line financially per year with the Rob Gronkowskis, the Travis Kelce's, the Zach Ertz, the guy he played behind in Philadelphia. He's got to produce almost immediately. He's got to be a top five tight end to make that contract worth it.
And it's ostensibly a two-year, $16 million deal, something like that. They can get out from under it in 2 years, so he's going to have 2 years to prove himself. We talk about Gabriel. This is a guy with 4.2 speed, but he is going from playing indoors right now to playing on the field at Soldier Field, and I use the word field very, very sarcastically, because, you know, after November, this thing is just, you know, mid-November, it's soup. You know, I'll be curious to see how he plays when he can't just blow past everybody because it's just a mud pit?
Yeah, I think the answer to your question is that you use the 45th pick in the draft. Adam Shaheen better be an every down for tight end. He's not yet.
Right.
But that's what they envision. That's what they want him to be. I was skeptical as to whether Deion Sims would be released or not. I don't think he has been as we sit here. Mm-hmm. I don't know that he should be because you need three tight ends, and they don't have the third one if they do. So maybe they release him and draft another one. But if you've got Sims also, now you've got a really good inline blocking tight end. You've got Shaheen, who you can put out there with Sims and say we can run or pass. When Trey Burton's on the field, there's a 90% chance you're throwing the football. So that's a whole different piece.
But, I mean, you can go with two tight ends on the field and have the threat of running. If it's Sims and it's Burton, you can still run the football in that situation. You essentially maybe view Burton as a slot guy almost at that point.
Well, and if they do end up cutting Sims, they owe him $4 million if he's on the team Saturday. What, $6 million is his total takeaway next year if he stays. If they cut him, they're going to go get a blocking tight end. It's
a
not a matter
version of that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like they're going to just say, okay, Adam Shaheen, go do this.
Will cheaper be better, though?
All my Eagles friends say Burton's a very willing blocker.
Oh, he's exciting. Yeah. He's exciting. But here's the real point. They've still got plenty of cap space.
Right.
There could still be more moves to make. I don't know if they're going to draft him or where they're going to get him. They've got to get a couple pass rushers. They need an offensive guard. And I got to tell you, if they're not at least kicking the tires on Tyrann Mathieu, then I'm really disappointed.
All right, here's our Ankin Law Sports Talk Live poll question. Go to NBCSportsChicago.com/vote. What is the Bears' biggest remaining need now? Is it cornerback? Is it a rush linebacker, or is it the offensive line? It's sort of interesting. You mentioned they got to get some guys that play the defensive side of the ball
now. To me, it was outside linebacker to begin with, with the needs at receiver, tight end. You need pass rushers. It's the passer and the pass rushers. That's where everything begins. It's Leonard Floyd, Howard Jones, Isaiah Irving, Sam Macho's back, but is he really a pass rusher? Absolutely not. He's a nice special teamer. He's pretty good against the run. You need to find somebody, and they're not out there in free agency. They may not even be out there in the draft. They're a very bad year overall.
And they're certainly not going to be out there at 8 in the draft. If they were picking 3rd, okay, they've got their pass rush solved. If they were picking 20th, maybe there's something that makes sense. But, you know, right, they're kind of caught in betwixt and in between, at least at number 8.
But the good news is that they've done enough now that if there's a trade partner out there, now you can trade down into the middle of the first round, maybe take just as good a pass rusher there and add some extra assets, which is something I think we'd all love to see Ryan do after he gave those picks away last.
Yeah, I think Arizona and Miami are kind of natural trade down partners if things would work out, that there could be a match there of the Bears wanting to move down into the teens. But, I mean, Pat, you're absolutely right. They're like Marcus Davenport and Harold Landry, those guys don't really do anything for you at number 8 as we sit here right now, but maybe they do something for you at number 15.
Right, and the Buffalo Bills, too, on that list.
Right, they're lurking. They're moving closer and closer.
They're not really lurking. I think they're pretty out in the open.
I love what the Bears did, but we did mention, you know, you got to be careful about free agency. There's a reason everybody hits free agency. So my two questions are, number 1, will the Bears still add another wide receiver in the draft that could fit in 2 or 3, in the spot 2 or 3 on their depth chart? And number 2, why did they let Allen Robinson go and hit free agency?
Well, what's interesting is when you look at the Marquise Lee contract, they gave him a surprising amount of money. I think that they think that D.D. Westbrook is the guy who's going to play the Allen Robinson role. They've still got Allen Hurns there, too, who they paid a lot of money to. Yep. You can only spend so much. Marquise Lee gave them a possession guy, a different kind of receiver. So that doesn't bother me so much. I will tell you that I'm not worried about it. But the Bears never really should have signed Pernell McPhee. There was plenty of information out there that he was a medical reject in some places. Hopefully the knee is 100%. Guys come back from ACLs all the time now. I don't think that would be a reason to let him go, but, you know, you hope that they've got a really
good medical. Well, and they also allocated money elsewhere. They just signed Norwell.
Yeah.
To give their guard. I mean, they spent a lot of money. Yes. Yeah, they added a couple receivers too, so they just allocated it elsewhere.
I think with Robinson, I talked to the Jags beat writer about this, and it was basically like the money that the Bears offered Robinson was not near what the Jaguars are going to offer him, but they certainly wanted him back. But, Hub, like you said, you got D.D. Westbrook, you got Allen Hurns, you got Marquise Lee. You feel okay going forward, so you don't have to competitively price out yourself for Allen Robinson.
Adam says Norwell changes that team.
Oh, absolutely.
He's probably the best guard in football right now. You just made Leonard Fournette a lot better. And so that was a really good trade for them.
Well, and back to your original question, are they going to add another receiver? I think they are, whether it's a free agent or somebody you draft. I mean, you can't count on Cam Meredith. You can't count on Kevin right. White. And if you take them out of the equation, they're still short at least one guy.
I just don't think it's going to be Calvin Ridley at number eight. No. I mean, he is by far.
No, not that high. But look, we have the projected depth chart, and I look on there and I see Meredith and Robinson, and it's two guys coming off knee injury. That's the only thing that scares me about what's happened in the last
Look, a lot of receivers, Hub kind of made mention of this, a lot of receivers recently have undergone ACL surgery, yeah. come back, and they're better. Jeremy Maclin was a guy who had chronic knee issues, and he came back, and he was better.
Keenan Allen had a big
Keenan Allen, same thing.
So, I know. I just have watched Kevin White the last couple of years, and so wide receiver with an injury scares me to death, but, and when I see two coming off knee injury, I say...
The reason
that's the only thing that scares me, and I love what they did.
The reason why you draft the wide receiver is so you kind of push Kevin White down your depth chart a little bit. So you're relying on him less and less. And then look, if you get Kevin White, the guy they thought they were drafting in 2015, I mean,
oh god, if you get anything,
but that's the thing. Yeah. If you get 40 catches out of Kevin White, you're feeling ecstatic.
If I win the Powerball tomorrow too,
I don't know what you guys thought, but I stood there watching him the first couple weeks in Bourbonnais before he got hurt last year. I didn't see a first-round receiver. I didn't see a third-round receiver.
I was very disappointed. I saw a guy getting beat by Sherrick McManus.
Yeah, and he couldn't separate. And you see these pictures of him with his shirt off now, and God, he looks great. But you want him to stay healthy. And I don't know that just because he's been lifting weights that his 3-year history of injuries is going to go away.
Vikings signed Kirk Cousins 3 years, $84 million guaranteed. They apparently have a deal with the Broncos to add Trevor Siemian, the Packers, a Jimmy Graham, Muhammad Wilkerson. Who's the most improved team in the division? Is it the Bears, or what do you like about the other teams?
Well,
and what
what's
done?
Your definition of most improved?
Well, the Bears had the most room to improve.
So I think the Bears might be the most improved, but are they the best team in the division? Clearly not. Just look at the quarterback situations. Even Kirk Cousins, for as much criticism as he receives, despite his relatively solid production, he's better than Mitch Trubisky right now, and he's walking into a great situation with great receivers and a great defense. He's supposed to be the difference maker. He's supposed to deliver a Super Bowl championship for them.
But, Hub, do you like Kirk Cousins?
I like Kirk Cousins. He is an upgrade over Case Keenum. But when you talk about most improved, you look at his numbers last year in Keenum's, how much more can he give him? So I think that they're settled at the position now. You don't have the same doubts about Cousins that you had at Keenum. But I don't know that translates to improved. I look at the Green Bay Packers. I think Jimmy Graham is overrated. I do think he'll give them something they haven't had in a while, but he's 32 years old. The signing that intrigues me is Muhammad Wilkerson. I think that's a great signing for the Packers. This kid was the best five technique in football for 3 or 4 years. He got paid with the Jets and he disappeared. Now they've got him on a 1-year prove-it deal. And I don't know if you guys agree with me, but I did not want to see Christian Jones get away. The Lions desperately needed linebacker help. They've made two really nice under the radar linebacker move. So I think the Bears are the most improved, but it was a low bar. They had the most room to improve.
Well, and I think you can make a case that the Vikings, by virtue of getting their running back healthy and mm-hmm. back after getting hurt in week 4 last year, he might be the best addition mm-hmm. anybody in the division makes all offseason.
It is possible that the Bears really improved their roster over the last 24 hours and will in the draft, and they still may not win that many games next season.
They could still finish last.
Well, it all goes back to Trubisky. What type of steps? Does he grow by leaps? Does he grow by baby steps? Where does he go in year two?
We're not, Adam, thank you. We're not talking about the most important part. I listen to Ryan Pace. Even a little bit I've heard of Matt Nagy first. You would think that Mitch Trubisky is already Carson Wentz or maybe even Aaron Rodgers. I don't know. I mean, he looked better than I expected him to in 12 games. I'm excited about it. Looking forward to seeing it. But you still have no idea what you've got there.
You're saying we have about 5.5-6 months until we actually start getting to determine how successful the Bears are going to be.
He's still at the, if you take the quarterbacks in the division, he still has to be at the bottom. No matter how optimistic you are.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, he could be a Pro Bowler next year and he could still be fourth. I mean, seriously. He's also making a lot less money than the other three. And that's something that we talk about, all this cap space the Bears have. Part of the reason because of it is they're not going out and spending Mike Glennon money or Jay Cutler money on a quarterback. They can put that money elsewhere, but they're not going to overpay.
And plus, the expectations are different. All three of the other teams are in win-now mode, even with the changes with the Lions. Mm-hmm. They brought their entire offensive staff back for Matthew Stafford. They're in win-now mode with Matt Patricia. The Vikings definitely are. The Packers always are with Aaron Rodgers. The Bears, defining expectations for them is quite fluid. It all depends on Mitch Trubisky.
So where do you guys want to see them go in the draft then? They've taken care of some big needs in free agency. They had the cash to do it. Now where do they go with the draft?
I think if Quentin Nelson is there, it would be hard for me to say no. You know, taking a guard that high is something that people don't like to do. Traditionalists hate it. But if he's a generational player, you know, the Bears aren't good enough to turn down a generational player just because it might not be exactly what they need. And as of now, it is exactly what they need. I'm sure they'll add an offensive line depth piece between now and then.
I'm just curious what direction they go if they do go defense, if they stay at number eight. Because kind of like we said, there's not that elite edge rusher. It would be a shock if Bradley Chubb falls to number eight. But, you know, if do you trade down? Do you think about Denzel Ward, even though you just gave all this cash to Amukamara and Fuller? There are a lot of interesting things there. I would like to see him go edge rush, though,
as Amukamara is, he's 28, didn't have an interception last year or the year before.
You can still draft a corner.
Still draft a Denzel Ward or Josh Jackson, who had, what, 8 interceptions for Iowa last year, a ton of pass breakups. You need playmakers. You need star finishers, guys who really get their hands on a lot of passes in the secondary.
I really think, I sat here 2 weeks ago and I predicted that if Quentin Nelson wasn't there, the Bears wouldn't take him because of what I was hearing at the time. I've spent some time with the people that I go to for my offensive line information, and they have convinced me this is a generational player. Mm-hmm. If Quentin Nelson is there, I think they have to take him at number 8. You've done this much for the offense. Don't come up one player short if you can make that move, because if he is, and Kyle Long is healthy, you got an offense to be really excited about. Now, that said, I don't think he's going to be there because my people telling me aren't the only ones who know this, right. You know, and so you take the chance. But what happens now, I've seen a few scenarios, we're running all our mocks, where it's not inconceivable that Minkah Fitzpatrick could drop to number 8.
Yep.
He's in the Quentin Nelson league with me. Those are the two guys that if one of them is there, I don't hesitate. I got to take them. If they're both there, you got an interesting conversation. I doubt that happens. It's all about what happens with the quarterbacks in front of them.
Yeah.
And that has changed now.
Four could go and 7, right?
They won't because of what's happened with the signings unless there's a ton of moves.
Yeah, unless Denver trades down and out of it because you would like to, you would think that they're not going to go draft a quarterback now after they
But you would imagine somebody wants to leap the Bills.
Of course they
would. 12, you know, with the, especially the Cardinals at 15. So there's going to be some positioning.
If four quarterbacks go, then one of Chubb, Fitzpatrick, Nelson, and Barkley will fall to the Bears.
Here's a way to look at this, though, guys. Nobody's analyzing it this way, but this is the way I see it. This class was built up a year and two ago as the next great class. It is not that. It was proven, at least not now, as prospects. And as a matter of fact, I don't see a grade on any of these kids that is better than the grades last year that were on Trubisky and Watson and Mahomes. And look what happened. Mitch went high. You got Mahomes waiting to 10. You got Watson waiting till 12. These kids aren't that good. And so that's what should happen. Now we'll see if people get impatient and pull the trigger quickly.
JJ, thanks for dropping in and joining on the Bears conversation. We got more Sports Talk Live coming up. We're going to talk a little bit of everything when we come back, but especially Bulls. Lauri Markkanen will not make the trip to Memphis as the Bulls take on the Grizzlies. He has back spasms. And Ian Happ is forcing himself possibly into the everyday lineup for the Cubs. He homered again last night. What does it mean for Jason Hayward? What does it mean for the rest of the outfield? That's next on Sports Talk Live.
Can't get enough of your Blackhawks? Tune in every single game day to Blackhawks pregame and flip back after the action for postgame live all season long, all 82 games, only on NBC Sports Chicago.
Tank Watch. Tank Watch!
It's my favorite animation we have. Here's the latest Tank Watch standings. Bulls in danger of falling out of the top 8. They are just a half game ahead of the Knicks. So what's the solution? Well, make sure Lauri Markkanen doesn't travel to Memphis for this tankalicious game against Grizzlies. No, really, he has he's had back issues all year, so if he has anything acting up, why play the guy at this point?
Yeah, bad night of sleeps, you know.
But even early in the season,
doesn't have a MyPillow, you know.
Well, that's the problem. That's you don't have problem. A MyPillow, Cap says. You can't even fall asleep hardly.
Well, and now with the league looking hard at them, anybody who's got a legitimate medical issue, they have to bench. And everybody who doesn't, they now have to play, strangely. There's no reason in the world for him to play. I'd be mad at the Bulls if they played their starters in the fourth quarter against the Grizzlies, wouldn't you?
Those guys, though. Not the core three. I'm okay if they play whenever they play.
You know what I find so funny about this, though, guys, is we're really burying the lead because I don't think anybody realized that Lauri Markkanen was going to be as good as he is. He does look to be one of those players you can build around. But when I've got a 7-footer with back problems for the third time in his rookie year, that troubles me a little bit.
Right, I know. Vincent was trying to tell me yesterday, hey, wink, wink, this is because, you know what, there's no reason to try and win some of these games and ease off. But I want to see him play, and if it is a legitimate third time that his back is a little bit sore, Now, you saw what happened to Joakim Noah with feet that weren't working for a big 7-foot guy. Maybe it's not a red flag, but I'm that pessimistic guy that gets a little bit worried about anything like this. Mm-hmm. And so I'm at least a little bit leery of what's going on, just like I am the Allen Robinson knee.
Your whole Tankalicious situation here kind of clouds the whole situation, because if it is, wink, wink,
right,
not that bad, it seems to fit with what the Bulls want to do. And now if they get a slap on the wrist from the NBA, that's another thing. But look, rest him. He is a key part going in the future. Don't risk this going forward.
I don't know how they solve. I really don't know how they solve the tanking problem in the NBA. I know they've tried to readjust it.
I have a real simple
what
answer
you got?
For you. This drives me nuts. Adam Silver, you want to do something about it? Get rid of the lottery. Or make it a lottery for all 30 teams. Real simple. Either get rid of the lottery, like every other sport, or put all 30 teams in the lottery. Yeah. Then nobody's going to tank.
I mean, here's the problem. Yeah. It's such a stars-heavy league now, and you have all these star-heavy teams now, like LeBron James, you know, with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love, the entire Golden State Warriors, whatever they're called,
right,
roster. They're loaded. I mean, you have all these AAU connections, people, you know, creating these loaded teams. If you have a hard cap, right, and you stick by that hard cap, you would have more parity and you would have less teams tanking. So it starts at the top and having that hard cap.
No, but basketball is different than any other sport in that, you know, you're going to get a star in the first three, and, you know, you only need 5 good players to be really good, or 7 good players, right, to be really good. What he needs to do is make a rule against it, which they've still yet to do.
How do you legislate that?
His big solution last year was to change the odds slightly of
the
lottery.
Any parity.
That was the change.
But
they
how
made.
Do you legislate that rule? Who becomes the ultimate arbiter of whether you're trying hard enough?
Well, they're trying now.
I know, and it's looking pretty ugly, isn't it?
Even if you just took the top 10 teams in the NBA and said, you know what, if you have the top 10 records, you're not in the lottery. Everybody else is in the lottery. Top 10 teams are all trying to make the playoffs and do something. You're going to have way less of this mixing and matching and trying to lose games.
And give everybody
the
same
group.
Odds. I mean, then there's no same, benefit
right,
whatsoever.
What I mean.
Yeah,
same odds, but take the top 10 teams out of it. Everybody else goes into the ping pong balls. And, yeah, you're going to have some mid-level teams that don't deserve the number one pick that get the number one, but so what?
Do you know what the best way to eliminate tanking is? To eliminate the draft. Just make it free agency. If you want to pay the best player in college, DeAndre Ayton, if you want to pay him like a super-duper star, you know, at age 20, go ahead.
So just like college basketball, then.
Was
that too soon? Yeah.
He only made $100,000 at Arizona, and he's wildly underpaid at Arizona. But, I mean, why do we need a draft? I mean, what purpose does that serve?
Well, because you don't have a salary cap. And so if you want just the Knicks and the Lakers to win every year, then you could do that, I guess.
It's interesting. It's just been a very strange basketball season. It's even more strange because the Bulls are at the bottom half of the league. So that's what we're watching. Time for our Chevy Stat of the Day, brought to you by the Chevy Silverado. Zach LaVine's been really inconsistent over his last 5 games. 4 points, 21 points, 8 points, 21 points, then 10 last night against the Clippers. The field goal has been a little alarming. I mean, he likes to shoot, no question about that, but the roller coaster ride to me is not a big deal for this guy. I know you've invested in him, and every game hasn't been perfect. He's coming off of ACL surgery. This is the point where we were wondering if Derrick Rose was even coming back. For a guy coming back from ACL, he's looked about as good as you can look.
Also, you're trying to lose games. I mean, if he goes 1-for-11, he's 1-for-11 from the field, you should, you know, kiss him on the cheek afterwards. I mean, this is exactly what they want. They're playing a guy who everybody knows is coming back from injury, who will be better next year because he's gone through this year.
Right.
And he's doing them the benefit of being really, really bad every other game. And that's great because they don't want to win games.
And that roller coaster ride that you talked about was expected. This was supposed to happen with Zach LaVine. And I mean, this is a guy who is known for his slam dunks, right? He's not known for his shooting ability. That's a work in progress. So none of this is surprising whatsoever.
Yeah, let him practice during the game. So I mentioned the college game.
Right.
We have the tournament coming up. Everybody's filling out their brackets. Does Loyola really have a chance at 11 to make a considerable run in this tournament? We've seen 11s get to the Final Four 3 times. I'm not saying they're a Final Four team, but is it realistic
sure.
to even think that they could go Sweet 16, Elite 8?
I think they can win a game.
I mean, for sure they can win a game. I don't know if they will. But
you know those basketball pools where you can just pick 8 teams and you get rewarded? For entertainment purposes only. Just entertainment.
Sure. Yes.
I have Loyola because I think that at 11, there's great value there if they win a game and if they have a puncher's chance in the second round. I mean, that's all you're looking for in a bet like that. My question is, given the way the committee treated mid-majors across the board, are there ever going to be Cinderellas like that again? I mean, are only the really good ones getting in now, or is it just a crapshoot where there are a couple of good matchups that benefit, you know, St. Mary's, you know, one of those teams that got left out that could just as easily make a Sweet 16 run as somebody like Loyola, who was the best team in their league for a long time?
You know what I think the real problem is, and I'm the only one here old enough to have actually enjoyed the 63 championship, and I remember the guys on the team, I mean, Rouse and Harkness, and this is a great story. It's absolutely a great story. But I'm not sure that the Missouri Valley Conference is even what it was when it was good.
No,
and so when
no,
we talk
no.
about mid-majors, I'm not sure they're even a mid-major. And so the level of competition, they are taking a huge step up here. Maybe they win a game, but to win a second game, I'm really hard-pressed to see that.
Well, it's an interesting tournament because I think more and more with guys leaving college, you just don't know what to expect from a tournament anymore. You can expect, I think I bet on Michigan State. And when I say bet, I mean I wrote them in a bracket that was for no money.
Oh, yeah,
as
just
you mentioned.
Units.
But
just
I thought Michigan
units.
State was a lock, but then they were nothing.
Right.
And you can look at those top teams, and I looked at the top teams. I was filling out a bracket today, and I thought, well, Virginia can make a run. Oh, Villanova could. You know what? Sooner or later, a 1's going to lose to a 16, and it may not be this year. It might not be next year, but it's coming in the next 5 years.
Everybody,
somebody's going to lose because it's so mediocre across the board.
Everybody is saying this year that it's going to be Penn, Kansas, that if it's ever going to happen, this is the 16 versus 1 to make it happen. That would be great as somebody who doesn't like Kansas. I just, you know, you just look at the lead, you look at the college basketball landscape, you know, there hasn't been a dominant team all year. Villanova's been pretty good. Virginia's been pretty good. Why would the tournament be any different? Why shouldn't this tournament have 12 teams that legitimately have a chance to win the whole thing?
Well, that's why we like it so much.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I want it. You know, I'm not complaining about it, but, you know, trying to predict.
Well, I haven't filled out a bracket in like 5 years.
Oh, come on.
What's five wrong years, with you, Johns?
Nothing. I think it's relieving.
Oh, I'll send you an email.
Psychological evaluation.
I will not fill out. I'll just delete it.
I actually haven't either. I'm with you. Yeah, I don't know if it's been five, but it's been a few years. Yeah, I didn't do it this year. I have a
but
bias.
Right,
though.
It's the unpredictability and whether or not it's for entertainment purposes or not. You know, I don't need the frustration of having.
What I do wonder, though, is as much as we like these Cinderella teams, I don't think America wants a Final Four full of Cinderellas. I think they want the Blue Bloods. I think they want Kentucky, you know, UCLA, you know. Not after last night, Kansas, you know, they want those great old teams in the Final Four. Maybe one Cinderella, but certainly not four.
Hub would just like Michigan all the way across the board, I think.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Remember to watch the show weekdays on CSN and visit csnchicago.com for previous episodes of the podcast and all the latest sports news and highlights.